This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
What's the most resilient parasite?
Prime Time with Isaac and Sue.
Can build cities, can transform the world, and rewrite all the rules.
That's what I'll be doing every single night.
Which is why...
No!
I have to steal it.
What are you talking about, Willis?
This is Prime Time with Isaac and Sue.
It's going to work. It's passable, okay? This isn't terrible.
The best in local, regional, and national sports.
With no hidden agenda.
Prime Time with Isaac and Sue on 1080 The Fan.
Hey, what it do?
Oh,
what are you doing?
Oh, you know.
Look who's back. See who's back?
Look who is back.
What's up, boys?
Hey.
What's up, man?
How was your unsolicited day off?
Yeah.
I was good. It was fine.
Did your dad fly you somewhere again fun?
No. We were visiting a couple ailing family members in Southern California.
We thought that was just a cover story, and that John Buckley was once again whisking you away to some sort of fancy trip, and you didn't want to.
No. My privilege will strike again, probably late March when I go to Hawaii with my mom's side of the family.
Unbelievable!
Damn it!
I mean, you're the greatest white thing going right now, except for. Can we talk about it?
People have said that the whites are on a generational run right now.
The whites are on a generational run. And last night, the whites, we struck again.
People are saying. Yeah, you guys
have never seen anything like it.
Listen, okay, so let's do talk about it.
Can we talk about it?
BYU beat Kansas by about 40.
I think we killed your program last night.
Worst loss in Bill Self's Kansas tenure?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. I think that's what they said.
He did say after the game that when they get back, they need to take a break from each other.
I think he said we need to get away from each other. Yeah.
He did say that. Mm. Well, I told you the Mike Vernon, the insider guy.
Yeah.
He said they had a coming to Jesus after the Utah loss where the players questioned the coaching staff.
Yeah.
And apparently it got heated. And then you and I were talking yesterday, and I said, well, Kansas is either going to be rejuvenated and win by 60.
Yep.
Or no, I said Kansas loses by 30. Or BYU or
you all right? I mean, we have you flummoxed. I understand your program's in shambles right now.
I think I said, Kansas by 30 or BYU by 60. That's what I said, and it was BYU by 40.
I think it was what 34. It ended up being
something like
34. That's right,
34.
Something like that. But you guys, you know what?
The whites were raining threes from all over.
Do you know what Bill Self also said last night?
What?
Because. The natives are restless in Lawrence, Kansas.
Oh, yeah.
It is not pretty with his program.
No. They were the number one team in the country going into the year.
Well, that shows you that they should be way better than they are.
Yes.
It is not. Bill Self is not having a moment.
No.
Anyway, who cares about them? What he said was, BYU could have beaten anybody tonight. And you and I had it on in here.
Yeah.
We were watching it. They did look really good.
Well, and they're saying that that may be that gets BYU into the tournament, because BYU too was supposed to be a top 25 team, and they fell on their face, and now they're starting to get it together, and they did that.
Well, when I've watched them, they've been kind of soft. No offense.
Oh yeah.
Little soft.
Oh, they're they soft as baby poop.
They can drain threes, you know, but they look last night, man. They were, dude. I was like, that team's pretty good.
Who would have thought in...
I'll get on your bandwagon for a year.
Come on board. Who would have thought in the year of our Lord, 2024 into 2025, that Kansas would ruin BYU's football season, keeping them out of the college football playoff, and BYU basketball would possibly put the nail in Kansas basketball's coffin? Dogs and cats living together, you know, mass hysteria.
Can I just say, this is why I love sports.
Yeah, you never know.
You can't predict any of this.
No, when I saw BYU favored by three, and I know Kansas wasn't playing very well, I still laughed at that. I'm like, in what world is BYU favored over Kansas basketball? And then they went out and they were up by 20 at the half. I mean, and it got worse.
Well, you know what I think is happening? Can I tell you my secret insider scoop?
Talk about it. Let's go.
I think that Kansas, I'm not sure that we've ever won the NIT.
Oh.
So I think what they're doing is trying to get in there and then win that.
It's like you're collecting the Infinity Stones and that elusive NIT title. You know, BYU loves the NIT. We're well accustomed to that. We'll party in the NIT with you, although now...
We want something new.
Now we're going dancing. I mean, they're saying BYU, with this win, this is what BYU is going to hold up to end up in the NCAA tournament. They're like, look what we did to Kansas.
Look, when you beat Kansas, I don't care what state Kansas is in, when you beat Kansas or North Carolina or Duke or Kentucky or any of those schools like that by 35...
Yes.
Dude, hang a banner. Mm. Do what you need to
do. That's a pelt.
It's definitely a pelt. It's a great win.
Oh, and you know what? We already have two banners hanging up in the Marriott Center. You might have known this, but I mean, 1951 and 1966, NIT champs.
Are you serious?
Two times.
They have banners for those?
Two. Not one. Two.
Boy, that's
jealous.
When they go to the tournament, do they hang up banner?
Well, no, we don't do anything in the tournament.
Like Sweet 16?
I don't think that happens.
What's the furthest? Has BYU ever been to a Final Four?
No.
Are you sure about that?
I'm almost positive in that.
I feel like your fingers are getting ready to Google.
Well, they are getting ready to Google, but I feel like if we've been to a Final Four, a BYU fan would never shut up about it. And since I've never heard that, I'm going to say no, they have not.
They've been to the tournament 31 times.
Yes.
It appears here. And they have... Ooh.
Yeah, it's not a great history.
No, it's not.
No, so I know that. They went to the Elite Eight in 1981, and I believe that was the half, like the coast-to-coast one, Danny Ainge.
Danny Ainge.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, and that was like I want to say it was against, I think it was against Notre Dame. I think it was the Battle of Jesuses again, and Mormon Jesus greater than Catholic Jesus. And that was the one they show the highlight a bunch. And he goes coast to coast and he lays it in. And I don't quote me that was against Notre Dame, but that was the furthest they'd gone.
Two-time Elite Eight.
And then I think Jimmer may have gotten to a Sweet 16.
2011.
That sounds right.
Because they went to the Sweet 16 one, two, three, four, five times.
Five times, huh?
Five times Sweet 16, two-time Elite Eight, never a Final Four.
No.
And three-time conference tournament champ. Now, they've got a lot of conference regular season championships.
Well, we played in terrible conferences. Yeah. We were in the WAC, for God's sakes. And then the mighty Mountain West. Although, those years we were in the Mountain West, Utah was like, that was like Keith Van Horn and those cats and Doliak. Utah played in a national title game against Kentucky. One of those years that I was there, and they lost to Kentucky. But yeah, those Utah teams were actually really good. But yeah, we don't, I'm not sure if you're familiar with the 6'6 slow-footed white man, but we collect those as you do five-star prodigies. That's more of a Kansas sort of thing. Do you want the uber-athletic five-star kid? We look for the 6'7 rangy slow-footed white guy that can shoot a little bit. We collect them.
Well, I like how they play.
Well, of course, you know, it's a smart play. A lot of coaches' kids,
well, look, they,
not a lot of talent, a lot of hustle,
they
played, quote, the right way.
They played hard, man. They're well coached. I was impressed. Like, you're laughing, but they're
on board.
That's a good team. That's a good team.
It is a generational run for the Whites right now, though. I mean, we're having our moment. We got the...
Well,
the,
you're welcome.
We got the exciting whites in Philadelphia. I mean, my God. I mean, things are looking up. All of a sudden, we're good in hockey now in the United States? What the hell? What's going on?
Yeah, tonight is just the... Well, yeah, we do have the... We have the wildfire game tonight.
It's the calm before the storm.
We have the Luka Lakers taking on Charlotte.
Yeah, they're calling
the game that...
Wildfire?
Well, it got moved because of the wildfire.
Oh, I didn't realize that's why.
That's why there's only one game tonight.
Yeah.
Is they're doing that. And that helps your Zers.
Yeah, because then the Lakers have to play on a back-to-back.
Yeah.
Although I don't...
Tomorrow, they're
here. I'm still fascinated to see how far... I believe it was Danny that asked the question. How far will the plug be from the wall when the Blazers pull it? Are we just like, is it loose? Have we yanked it out?
I don't buy that.
Are they going to keep playing hard?
Well, yeah. Why wouldn't they? I mean, the players play hard, or at least that's the idea, no matter what. And your coach...
Yeah, Chance is continuing to audition for his next job.
He wants to stick it to the franchise. I don't get this idea that all of a sudden now they're just going to say, oh, screw
it. Aiden's probably done for the year. And, you know, do we start seeing some deep finger contusions in the rest of the squad? We'll see.
Yeah, I don't know.
We'll see.
I don't think Chance is going to go for it.
Well.
He's pulling a...
Lovie Smith. Lovie Smith screwed the Bears over the number one pick after they like, here's the thing. If you're going to fire a guy, dude, you don't let him coach the rest of the year when your seating's on the line.
I also think that it kind of doesn't matter now for the Blazers to pull the plug because you're not going to get Cooper Flagg unless you're super, super lucky.
Well, yeah, the thing is, I think you're eighth or ninth right now. And again, the top six, it's relatively even odds in the top six.
So just get to the top six.
You got to get to the top six. So you don't, you're not catching the top three.
Is there a BYU kid they could get maybe?
Yeah, the Igor kid's supposed to be a top five. So the...
No, but like a white kid?
Well, he's white.
Oh, he is. Okay.
Yeah. He's Russian. His name's Igor.
Did you know that BYU, I have a fun BYU basketball fact for you.
Yeah, what do we got?
To corkscrew in right here. Yeah. Did you know that BYU is the first U.S. college program to have an international player on their roster?
Get right there out of town.
1959.
Oh.
Yeah.
Where did he come from?
He was from Finland.
Oh, of course. White.
Timo Lampinen.
White.
Well, yeah. I mean, do you think in 1958 BYU had a black guy?
I think God changed his mind about black people in 1970. Might have been 70.
Because he was forced to?
No.
I just have always preferred the whites.
Just saying. It was somewhere in the 70s when that order changed.
Yeah, I don't know that I buy it, but did you see that report? The YouTube chat asking that Cooper Flagg may go back for another year at Duke?
No.
That report came out yesterday. I don't believe it at all, but that's out there.
I don't believe it 1 second. The only thing would be, like, if you're knee-deep in Duke Skush and they're going to give you, like, well, the kid that's going to BYU, the number one player, he got, I think,
$7 million
to go back for a year.
Yeah.
And look, it's a rookie-scale contract in the NBA.
You know,
if you love the experience at Duke and you're feeling good and you do feel like your game needs to be worked on a little bit, you could do a lot worse than someone giving you, and I'm guessing Cooper Flagg could probably get closer to 8 to 10 to stick around.
Yeah.
Dude, that's not a bad life, man.
Neither is the NBA.
Well, no, it's not. I'm just saying.
They'll treat him with kid gloves.
I do think that there is an element now that you can't just, you can't balk at the idea that someone would come back considering the amount of money that's being thrown around to these cats.
I guess that's true.
And college life is pretty good. Like, I understand the NBA life on the road and you got the Instagram models and the hots and all that. But, you know, for an underage kid that's not 21, you're telling me that making $10 million a year, sitting on a college campus, being king of that place, that's a great... That's a great kind of starter set to be an NBA player.
Yeah, let's do that.
And maybe he's not one of those guys that loves the nightlife and the OnlyFans models and all that stuff.
If you get paid $7 million in college, do you still live in the dorms?
No.
What do you do?
Guaranteed.
A sweet off-campus house.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You got a condo somewhere. You're not buying anything, but,
Airbnb or something?
Yeah.
Yeah, Flagg told The Athletic in an interview last week, I want to come back next year.
Yeah.
So who knows? I mean,
yeah,
it may
I'll
be
believe
flimsy.
It when I see it.
I'm just saying, I'll bet you his life at Duke is fan freaking tastic.
Yeah, two games a week and no real responsibility.
No real travel. You know, he's not going to class. Or if he is, you know, it's whatever.
Well, he needs to work on his hair, I think.
Yeah.
Big time.
It's a little rough. You know. He'll get to the NBA.
That's what I'd do for
He'll get to the NBA. He'll get a headband. He'll get some tattoos. He'll Cherokee parks it up a little bit.
Well, that's just it. You need a year to grow that out.
Yeah.
And then get the headband.
Yeah.
A couple tats and you're ready for the NBA.
Then you're ready to go.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't laugh at the idea that he's not coming out. And also, is it possible to, like, let's look and see. What is the NBA standing? So.
And then the Blazers could screw up getting him for a second time.
Yeah. Look. If the Washington Wizards, who I believe have the worst record in the NBA, am I wrong about that? No.
You're not wrong.
I'm not wrong.
They're terrible.
So the Wizards. And that organization is a effing dumpster fire. If the Wizards end up with the number one pick, and I know every year, you know, that team's going to be bad, but like when San Antonio ended up with the number one pick, that's different. So you're telling me you're sitting there and you watch the draft lottery and the Wizards have the number one pick and you're sitting there and you're being like, I got to go to that dumpster fire and deal with that crap. Or I can go and take my house settlement money, my NIL money. So you throw in that house settlement money and his NIL, dude, he could be putting his foot in maybe 11 to 12 million bucks next year. Cause Duke's not going to, I bet you Duke doesn't go all in with the 22 mil in football. They're going to shave off a big chunk for basketball. So you're telling me between, if he gets a $7 to $8 million NIL, which shouldn't be a problem, he gets another 2 to 3 from the house settlement money and he's sitting at 10, 11 million bucks and he's at Duke and he doesn't have to play for the Wizards. I'll tell you right now, dude, that son of a gun is coming back.
Text line says, why would he go back to Duke? So the Blazers can mess up a chance to get him again.
Yeah. Well, that's what we just said, yeah.
Yeah.
What if the Blazers get lucky and get the number one pick and then Flag's like, yeah, I'm gonna go back to Duke, I think.
That would be so Blazers.
It would hurt.
The ultimate Blazer
that would be the ultimate what in the hell.
At least the rest of the class is decent, so you'd still get a good player.
Yeah, you get the Ace Bailey or
someone like that.
Or the Harper kid. Or you can get Igor, you can get the BYU Russian White.
I don't know if I want Ace Bailey.
You a little sour?
Well,
the one game that you've seen him play?
No, I've watched them some. He's kind of lazy. Yeah. He's already got that rep as being one of those, like, really talented but hollow NBA players.
Yeah, they say he can score wherever he wants, but he's like a space cadet on defense and, like, doesn't rebound even though he's got all this physical ability.
You want to draft that?
Boy, I'll tell you what. That scares the – whenever I hear that, you just, any sport, that just scares the living daylights out of me. There was a James Pierce, the edge rusher for Tennessee, because the combine's coming up. He's probably the most talented defensive player in the country. And there's reports saying that some NFL teams are taking him off the board because he's just, he's a moron, which means he's going to fall to the.
Maybe the Blazers can get him.
He's going to fall to the Eagles with like the 30th pick and then go on to be the next Lawrence Taylor. Just. They'll pair him with Jordan Davis Jalen Carter.
What's his nuts? Yeah. I don't mind dumb. I can't handle lazy.
Well, and that's what they're saying, character issues. They said he has massive character issues.
In other words, like won't work hard.
And the people around him
don't like him. Yeah, yeah, see, I'm out on that. Yeah, yeah. I'm out on that. I can work with dumb.
Yeah.
That reminds me of the Reuben Foster thing a little bit with Alabama, the Niners. Like all these teams took Reuben Foster off the board, and the Niners got him like 30th. And then there was a good reason why he got taken.
Well, if you've ever, like, there's just football lends itself to violent
dum-dums.
Yeah, yeah, and not just dumb. Like you said, you can deal with dumb. I've played with guys that are two-thirds a moron, and they're fine because they speak football.
What's
and
the
it
other
works.
Third?
Probably weed and ladies. but the violent sort of irrational Reuben Foster stuff. Who was the other kid that the Niners had another one? The kid out of Missouri,
Elton Smith.
That guy was one of the most talented edge rushers I've seen in the NFL in 25 years.
Yeah,
he couldn't stop beating people up and carrying around guns. And there's
he's
just
like way
and drunk driving.
Right?
Yeah, he's so far. Yeah. He's so far gone. There's a lot of violent, kind of Neanderthal sort of guys that get by because football accepts it. It's insane. And then you end up there and you got all the talent in the world, but if you can't stay out of prison and you can't stay out of the police blotter, then you just, you
well,
can't
I'm hearing
play.
Cooper Flagg can't stay out of prison. So.
Yeah, Flags!
Be careful, Zers. Well, anyway, what we were going to say is.
Work on that haircut.
We've got the Charlotte Lakers game tonight.
Yeah.
All a precursor to the hockey game of the century.
Yeah, which I thought was tonight, and I'm so disappointed.
No, it's tomorrow. The hockey game of the decade.
Yeah.
tomorrow night.
It's a big deal.
I don't want to oversell it.
And I thought it was great because the hockey game's at 5. So I was like, oh, we're off the air early for Duck basketball. I was like, it's great.
Yeah.
I'll hit a bar. And then I was like, son of a gun.
You thought you were going to be cozying up at Jerry's just right about puck drop?
It broke my heart. I was so fired up that I was going to get to watch this.
You're heartbroken?
I am heartbroken. It hurt.
Yeah, tonight we're off at 5.
Yeah.
It's a turn and burn show.
All the world was lining up for me, and now...
Well, you can watch it in here.
I'm just saying, at 5 o'clock tomorrow, you may lose me for a bit.
I may... You know what? I may leave the show tomorrow at 5. I don't really feel good.
I'll bring a Team Canada jersey for you. You can put it on.
Make you do the show. I'll put it on. I'll wait for Canada.
I got Team Canada jersey. Oh, yeah. I got both.
I'll support the USA first. Well, I don't know. It depends on who I bet on. USA! Where's the value? USA! USA!
USA! I don't know. I think
I saw the line on it. It's pretty even.
I think Canada's going to win. And it's tough because I like the Canadian players better. But come on, man. It's my country.
The big question now is, will we boo their national anthem?
Oh, that's dude, what it's talking about. That is going to get so... I'll bet you that there is an incident, because they're not just going to boo, they're going to throw stuff on the ice. It's going to be...
Yeah, it'll be ugly.
It's going to be bad. Yeah, I'm sure Boston is going to handle this really, really well.
Right. The Celtics had a ball!
Yes!
Okay, we got to go. We'll start with sports talk next on The Fan. You know, during the break, you guys were previewing the... hockey game tomorrow.
Yes.
Between the USA and Canada.
It's in
Boston.
Any of it.
Well, of course. I'm the I mean, who are you talking to?
The preeminent hockey mind of the fan.
That's right. Yeah. Now, that immediately sent me to the sports book to look at the odds, the latest
now,
odds.
Now, what do we got going on?
Well, I want you to guess. Because I will tell you, for those that were not here during the break.
Mm-hmm.
That Souk and Buck both like Canada to have a little something for Team USA.
I think they got bushwhacked a little bit. I do not think that they were ready for what the United States brought, and I think they got caught back on their heels a little bit. Their goaltend, it's fascinating to me. I'd like to thank the entire country of Canada for not being able to produce a single goaltender, but neither one of the U.S. goals was any good. They were both soft goals.
So just in case somebody doesn't know what happened.
Yeah.
U.S. won the first match.
U.S. won the first
up in Montreal.
Yes.
This one's in Boston.
And Canada just has better skaters. We have better goaltending. We have solid defense. We do not have skaters that should be able to skate with Canada when Canada is on their game. And I think we kind of woke up I think this is going to backfire the whole...
Did they take us lightly?
I do.
I do.
I think they took us lightly. And I think the intensity and the physical nature in an exhibition, I mean, I just don't think they were ready for it. And now they're sniping back and forth, and it's more than hockey. It's turned political. Yeah. And when you look at their top lines, the skaters they have between MacKinnon and McDavid and Sidney Crosby and some of their, and they get the best defenseman in the world back, Makar, who didn't play in the first one. I just think Canada is going to have, it's going to be close. The USA is a good team. I think Canada is going to bring a different level, and I just think they're a better team. Right. So
what are the odds?
I'll bet you the US is favored. It's in Boston, in the United States especially, is where people are gambling. I'll bet you the US is a slight favorite.
I bet Canada is a slight favorite.
US minus 110.
Wow.
Canada minus 105.
Okay, so
okay,
it's
just
almost
about a
dead even.
Yeah. Razor thin.
Yeah.
Razor thin.
Yeah.
So I think
put your money where your mouth is.
I don't want to bet against the US cuz
yeah, you don't want to do that.
I don't want to do that.
I do.
But at the same time it's weird for me cuz I really like Canada. I love the country of Canada. I go to Canada all the time. I've spent my last couple Christmases there. My favorite hockey player of all time is Canadian. I named my son after a Canadian hockey player. And I think that this war that we have with them is BS. We've decided we have a president that decided for some unknown reason to pick a fight with our best ally. And I don't like that it's turned ugly, but I do love the intensity. I do love the rivalry. I don't want to see anyone booed. I hated when they booed our anthem. It's going to bother me when we boo their anthem back. I wish that we could all be grownups about this, but it's not going to happen. But I don't want to root against my country. So I will not be betting on Canada. In fact, I will probably sit this gambling out and just hope that we get a great game.
All right. Well, we have college football playoff, a little bit of college football playoff news today.
Playoff. And by the way, this was really good, and this was awesome. I love this text. And someone said, I know it's a pipe dream, but wouldn't it be great if the crowd started singing the Canadian anthem together? I would be such a classy move. It was a number of years ago. The Edmonton Oilers were playing, I believe, if I remember correctly, I think it was the Ducks. I think it was the Anaheim Ducks in the playoffs. And when they were in Anaheim, they booed the Canadian anthem. And it was a, you know, it was really a classless move. The Americans booed the anthem. And they asked, because a lot of the players for Anaheim were Canadians, and they were asking them about it, and they were like, yeah, that's, you know, shouldn't do that. So the series goes back to Edmonton, and so everyone thought that Edmonton was going to boo the hell out of the U.S. anthem, because they play the visitor anthem first. They played the national anthem, and the Canadians were very respectful and even sung along. And then when it came time for the Canadian anthem, the crowd was so passionate, the guy put the mic down and just held it up, and the entire crowd sung, and it was just goosebumps. And they ended up with like this great experience. And I wish the people of Boston would do something like that. It's not going to happen, but that would be a really cool moment.
You think they're classy enough?
I think that they are going to throw stuff on the ice, and I think there is going to be some very uncomfortable language, and I think the booing will start. I bet you they make an announcement before the game to respect the anthems, and I'll bet you that before we hit the oh part of Oh Canada, that the F-bombs and the boos come raining down, and they do not stop the entire anthem.
Well, look, the Boston bros don't even know the Canadian national anthem, so it doesn't even matter. I mean, I don't think I could sing it. I mean, I know parts of it.
Yeah.
But I don't know how many Americans could sing along with that.
I sing along with it all the time. It's a great anthem.
Well, again, I just don't know how many Americans. Yeah.
Unless you're a hockey fan, then, you know. Yeah.
All right. Well, I was going to break, but I guess I can't because my producer's not in there. But
We're
I don't know. He just kind of ran out of there. He might have mud butt today.
Is he good?
There he is. Oh, he's getting something off the printer.
Oh, hot off the press.
Look at that guy.
Ah! Hi.
All right. Well, I'm going to take a break now, okay?
I think that's good.
I think it's good, too. We've got a little bit of college football playoff. I mean, a little bit of news.
Yeah.
And we have $2 beer night tonight. I don't know if you saw that. Do you know where?
$2 beer night?
Yeah.
That's going to go well. Nickel shock night at Oulans. $2?
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
And pretzels.
Oh, I like where we're going with this.
Where do you think it is?
Well, there's not any games tonight. Is it the Lakers-Hornets game?
There are games.
There are games? I don't know.
I mean, there are other sports, you know.
Not really. Baseball's not going on. Hockey's not going on. Football's not going on. There's only one NBA game.
College hoop.
This will be a V8 moment for you.
Okay.
Yeah, college hoops, dude.
Oh.
Hello.
Oh.
Hello. We just talked. We opened the show with it.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway.
Well, it's not a BYU. We're not doing $2. We're not doing $2 beers.
They're classy.
That's right. Godless heathens.
So we'll get to that coming up on The Fan. Here's Buck. Hey, there's still time to enter daily for the Slam Dunk in Vegas contest. Entering is easy. Just download the free Odyssey app, log in, and listen to 1080 The Fan, or really any participating station.
Yeah.
Listen each day for a minimum of 1 hour for your daily entry. The winner is going to get travel for four and a five-night hotel stay at Circa Resort and Casino, Las Vegas's premier sports viewing destination and home of the biggest March hoops party at their stadium swim. You know, that's the one that's up on the roof there?
Yeah.
And they got a bunch of pools and you watch
apparently
games.
It's the place to be. And they give you like $5,000 each.
Dude, that's a sweet deal. That's where I would want to go to watch. And
dude, that's the best prize this stupid station has ever given away.
$5,000 for each of you to fund the ultimate viewing experience for the first two rounds of the college basketball championships. Come back each day and listen for another hour to add another chance to win. For more information, go to our website, 1080thefan.com. Yeah.
It's a hammer prize.
What was I going to say? Oh,
I don't know.
Well, we've got college football playoff.
Yeah.
A little bit of news today. I mean,
playoffs.
We were talking about this yesterday that the Big Ten and the SEC are all meeting.
Yeah.
Doing their secret meetings.
Because remember, we got 1 year left where you have to kind of keep everything relatively status quo. And then the year after that, you can kind of do what you want.
So these guys are talking about this is just a change for next year. Mm-hmm. So this is just something that they could easily
tweak.
But it would. have to be a unanimous vote. They don't know if they have the votes, but both the SEC commissioner and the Big Ten commissioner came out and said they agree that the way teams are seeded in the 12-team playoffs should change, and they would just go 1 through 12 by ranking and not give the first-round buys to the conference champions.
Yeah, people didn't like the fact that, like, ASU and Boise State got buys. Meanwhile, Oregon, in their first, I mean, Oregon had to play Ohio State in the first round after their bye. So that will probably change. I think most people are going to be on board.
And it makes sense.
Although, you know,
I think it makes
because sense. Because it has to be unanimous.
Yeah, they may not get it.
They may not get it.
I don't know.
Although something tells me that the Big Ten and the SEC, because remember, after this year, they kind of get to do what they want. My guess is that they go to the Mountain Wests of the world and the Big 12 and the ACC and be like, hey, just so you know, if you would like us to be pretty cool when it comes to figuring out the new format, don't be a D on this one.
Yeah.
And they're going to.
I think that's right.
And I am willing to guess that this will end up being a thing this coming year.
Yeah, so the four highest-ranking conference champions earned the top four seeds and a first-round bye. Very controversial facet of the format, as Boise State was ranked 9th, but got a bye.
Yeah.
And Arizona State was ranked 12th
and
got a bye by virtue of winning the Big 12.
And no one thought that either one of those teams was anywhere near the four best teams in the country.
No, because third-ranked Texas and fourth-ranked Penn State were runners-up in their conferences, and they could not be any higher than 5 or 6.
Yes.
Because the top four seeds were reserved for conference champions. So they want to change that,
and
they will.
And I know it pisses people off, but at the end of the day, the Big Ten and the SEC are going to have more power than anyone else. It is the way it works. The rest of the country needs them more than the SEC and the Big Ten needs the rest. I mean, it's obviously better together, but I mean, the meat of the college football world is run out of the Big Ten and the SEC, and that's just the reality of it.
The other thing it does is it opens the door for Notre Dame to get a first round bye.
Yeah.
Because right now, being in a conference, they can't.
Yes.
So, it makes sense. I mean, I even though, like, the Arizona States and the Boise States of the world are probably never going to get a bye now.
No. And they probably shouldn't.
Well, that's the whole thing. It's like the top four teams have earned that.
Yes.
Like, we need to still make sure that the regular season matters. Yeah. And, you know, Texas being number 3, even though they didn't win their league, they earned that.
Well, again, and I'm not trying to take anything away from Boise State or Arizona State. Those are both really good programs. I mean, Boise proved it, but can we make an argument that Boise's most impressive thing they did was almost beating Oregon? And that's not okay. Like, your big resume builder can't be that you played Oregon to basically a draw, or that you should have won, because no one believes. And the same thing with Arizona State. Like, the Big 12, God bless their heart, if you put Arizona State or Boise State in the Big 10, that's a 3-4 loss team.
Well,
it
I
just
also
is.
Think, too, it's like, and I don't remember the specifics of Arizona State's schedule, but with unbalanced schedules, you know, Texas being 3 but not winning the SEC is, like, in oftentimes that, I mean, not oftentimes, that could be better than Arizona State winning the Big 12 based on schedule strength.
Yeah, so
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like,
I'm looking,
so my point is, just because you didn't win the league doesn't mean you didn't play a really tough schedule and earn a bye like Texas did by being the 3 seed in a tougher league, whereas Arizona State may have ducked the best teams in the Big 12. I can't remember, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, I got it up here. So, right, they lost to Cincinnati and they lost to Texas Tech, which is that's
who
not
are
great.
Their best wins, though?
BYU. And Kansas State, that was
okay.
I mean,
so see what I mean? Like,
yeah,
when you're ranked 3rd, even if you didn't win your league, that's still more deserving of a bye in some instances than what you just read.
Yeah.
So it's pretty obvious. I mean, I think everybody agrees on this, don't they?
I mean, I know they're apples and oranges, but, like, the college basketball tournament has it figured out. If you win, I mean, there's way more conference tournaments, but if you win your conference tournament, you're not guaranteed a top 8 or a top 12 seed.
I mean, look.
You get a seat at the table, and then you get slotted wherever you would have been ranked.
Yeah, can we, I mean, like, Oregon is the definition of average, right? Like, Oregon's basketball team is, they're fine. Well, I mean, can we?
God dang, what do you think?
They started out the year pretty good. They had some close wins, and then,
right.
You know, they're fine.
I think they're better than Kansas.
It's a valid point. They're fine, right? They're fine.
All right.
They're going to end up being an 8 or a 9 seed because they still play in one of the preeminent conferences, and there's good wins there, and they've played a tough schedule. And it's all right. You get a team that wins 23 games but plays in a soft conference or the West Coast Conference. I'm sorry. Like, you're right. Basketball has it figured out. So you see teams that are like, oh, well, they're a bubble team and they barely got in. Wait, they're an 8 seed? Yes, their schedule is problematic and they don't have as many wins. But everyone knows that that team should be an 8 or a 9 seed. And it's not that hard to figure it out for football. So whether it happens this year or not, once we expand the tournament, that's going to change. So enjoy it. But Boise State will never get a bye again. It's not going to happen. And I said it till the cows came home last year. They shouldn't have gotten a bye this year. It was ridiculous. They have no business getting a bye.
The other thing is, you know, as you said, I think you said this yesterday, but those first round teams, if they expand,
yeah,
should be home. Those first round games should be home games.
100%.
Instead of earning a bye,
yeah, you get a home game.
You get a home game.
And I would hope that when it expands to 14 or 16, which is, I think, what's going to end up being, first 2 weeks, you can't keep asking the fans to travel, and eventually you just got to cut the bowl thing and just be like, look, I understand you love the bowl games and ESPN loves them. We can still have them, but you're only getting a handful of the big bowl games, and you got to play these first two playoff games at home. It would make the expanded playoff so much better. And you can't ask fans to travel 4 weeks in a row to these neutral sites.
Although I would say, I think if I'm remembering correctly, I think we just said Boise State was 9th in the rankings and Arizona State was 12th.
Something like that.
They would not have home games, even though they won their leagues.
Yeah.
In this year's format, they would have had to go on the road. But, I mean, again, still, that's kind of, that's right.
Yeah.
If you don't like that.
Yeah.
Get ranked higher. Maybe that incentivizes better out-of-conference scheduling.
Yes, it should.
And I hate to say it, but because people always give the SEC crap because it's like, well, they don't schedule anyone, which isn't necessarily true. Alabama schedules a tough game every year.
They do play some non-conference.
They play some non-con games. Some of them are at neutral sites, you know, and some people are like, how neutral are those? But this is my thing. If you're Alabama or you're Ohio State, or even a school like Oregon now, you don't really have to take those chances. You don't. And I know that sucks for everyone else to hear, but it's true. If you're Boise State or you're BYU or you're Kansas or someone in the Big 12, dude, and you feel like you really want to be respected, you have to then go into the Lion's Den. If you are going to play a soft conference schedule because your conference isn't very good, you better take a Pat Hill sort of approach and schedule one or two games every year. And yes, they're probably going to have to be on the road or at a neutral site field that isn't really neutral. You're going to have to go in the Lion's Den and prove it. You know, and that's just the way it is. And if you don't like it, then be prepared to not get respect at the end of the year. It's just the reality of it. We get into this weird thing of, well, why should we have to do it? Because you're not as good. And that's that way in every aspect of life. No matter what job you have, I guarantee there's someone at your office that gets more privileges or more perks, gets to work from home, gets a better this, gets a better that. Or you're that person because you've earned that respect. We all want everything to be this even level playing field, and that's just not the way life works, especially with the unbalance of conferences and schedules.
All right. It is $2 beer night in one arena. Watch out.
Oh, boy.
Tonight. That's next on The Fan. Well, coming up tonight here on The Fan at 5 p.m., you are going to get Oregon-Iowa pregame.
A perfectly adequate basketball game with a perfectly adequate team.
God dang, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, good matchup.
Well, Iowa's like 14th in the Big Ten, and Oregon is fine.
They're in well, the spread is like 1.5.
They're in the NCAA tournament.
But 1.5.
Yeah, According to Joe Lunardi, Oregon's in.
It's a tight game.
Yeah.
Out there at Iowa. You never know what's going to happen.
In the Iowa barn, wherever.
Caitlin Clark Arena.
I'm assuming.
Clark is white.
I'm assuming there's a barn somewhere in Iowa that they play in.
Hawkeyes are 5-9 in conference.
Yeah, so last year they weren't very good, and they're not very good this year, and interest at Iowa is waning. Mm. And so they have been talking recently about how to get the student body more engaged.
Yeah.
And for tonight's game against Oregon, Iowa has offered $2 beers and pretzels.
Oh.
It is $2 beer and pretzel night.
Oh. Does that get you?
At Caitlin Clark Arena.
Does that get you in the door?
Well,
it doesn't get me in the
door. I think it would for, well, you're not
if I'm a
student.
College kid, $2 beers absolutely get me in the door.
To me, this is a really smart thing to do. Now, what they're saying is it is only for students.
Oh, okay.
And it is only from 6 to 7:30. Tip off there is 7:30.
Oh, so show up and get housed early.
They want you to get housed.
That's smart.
This is the Caddy Shack, Caddy Day. Caddy's welcome from 4 to 4:15. Do it right here.
Yeah, and so they said, I was reading today, reading an article about this, they said that they're averaging less than 5,000 a game.
Yeah, it's not good.
It's not great.
No.
There's no interest there.
No.
They love the women's team.
They love them some Caitlin Clark.
But not the men's team.
Not the men's.
So they're trying to
Caitlin Clark is white.
Get them drunk and rowdy tonight against Oregon. So watch out, Ducks.
5,455 are going to be there whooping it up with their $2 beers.
Yeah. You know, Creighton did this recently.
Did they?
Yeah, they did this against UConn because they hate Dan Hurley.
Sure.
So they get really drunk and heckled Dan
Everyone hates Dan Hurley.
And so I think theirs was a dollar beer.
Okay.
$1 beer. Do you remember dollar beer night in college? Because you went to BYU.
I went to BYU. We didn't have that. We had dollar.
So you could only dream of dollar beer night in college.
Dollar Coke night, yeah. Not the good kind of Coke either.
It's yeah, diet, I just, that reiterates how bad your decision was.
Oh, it's horrible.
You know. But we had quarter draws. Do you remember draft beers?
Oh, okay.
Quarter draws.
Okay.
Real bad, awful.
Bad stuff.
Beer.
Yeah.
But you don't have to pay a quarter for it. And they would charge you the quarter.
Oh, really?
Like, we were always talking like.
You get four at a time? You're like.
Well, you would. And they would be smaller. But we were always talking like, do they really need the quarter? Like, why just give free beer?
Free beer.
You know, we'll tip.
Well, there's a, like the Falcons, right? I think the Falcons have super cheap. They've got like I think everything is under $4 or $5 at their.
They have like a select family friendly menu or something like that. Like,
you can get a pretzel, a hot dog. I think I'm sure it's like, you know, a Michelob Ultra or whatever. But yeah, they have affordable stuff.
And now other franchises are starting to adopt the like tiered pricing model where you can allow people to get average regular food at regular prices instead of like everything is $12.
Well, look, I mean, I think one of the things that definitely has hurt the experience is just the idea is it's, I don't even care at a place like Portland where tickets aren't that expensive, right? Like, you can get into a Blazer game for dirt ass cheap right now. But if you want a decent seat, let's say even if you're a decent seat, let's say you even go $30, which is still super ass cheap, $30-$40, right? And you bring you and a couple kids, by the time you get done parking, you know, you're not getting out of there for less than a couple $100, and that's on a dog crap team that's affordable. I mean, stuff's expensive now. And that I will say, when you sometimes stare at the prices of game day food and snacks and beers, it'll take your breath away a little bit. You're like, seriously?
Yeah. Well, should be a big night out there.
Well, good for them.
In Iowa City?
I thought it was Des Moines.
No, they play.
That is Iowa State, I think, is in Des Moines.
No, Iowa State's in Ames.
Oh, that's right.
And Iowa plays at Iowa City.
Do they really?
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
I would have bet all of my dollar beers that was in Des Moines.
You would have lost all of your beers.
Huh.
Coming up next, the NFL salary cap number appears to be set for this upcoming season, and we'll get to that when we return. On the Fan.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a three-time champion, check out my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hear this, right now.
Welcome.
Prime Time with Isaac and Suk.
What is going on up here?
I never know, man.
Unbiased.
Shut your mouth.
Uncompromised sports talk without the sugarcoating.
I hope you're happy. You wasted everyone's life for 30 seconds.
Isaac Rupp and Jason Sukanik.
Now shut up and let me do my job.
The best in sports coverage.
This is going to be great.
This is Prime Time with Isaac and Suk on 1080 The Fan.
All right. Welcome back. Nice little Tuesday. Wait.
Except it's not Tuesday.
It's Wednesday.
There you go.
Oh, man.
Well, we're off Monday.
Oh, that's
so
right.
It's kind of a skewed week for you.
And I'm not bringing it like I usually do on Wednesdays, so I got to step up my game for the last hour here.
You thought it was a Tuesday show.
And yeah, and I was mailing it in.
I don't know. That's a two-hour show. And
we're known
headed towards Turdville.
Yeah.
I have hot conspiracy theory talk.
We're known for our Wednesday shows. What's going on?
Well, the American, the best defenseman for the American hockey team, for the Boston Bruins, I do believe we have medical malfeasance going on. Well, he hurt his shoulder in the Canadian game against Team Canadian. And then it turns out he's got a nasty infection. He's in a hospital and has been with IV antibiotics, and they had to go in and clean out the infection. They're not going to say it, but he got hurt in that game, and they stuck a needle in his shoulder, and that thing got infected. And they may have screwed that guy up for a long, long, long time.
Oh.
Yeah.
Because how would you get an infection in your shoulder from just contact?
He clearly separated his shoulder, right? He has an AC joint shoulder, but they said he had surgery to clean out the infection. And he came back in the game, which means he went back there and they took a nasty ass needle, shoved that in his shoulder, sent him back out there, and that dude got MRSA or a nice staph infection in his shoulder. And by the way, that can kill you. It can end your career if they have to carve away a bunch of that infection, and he's probably not going to play for the rest of the year. Dude, that is, like, no one's going to talk about that, but they're just, I hear all these reports, they're brushing that off. Some medical professional effed that guy over. And
who does he get to sue?
I don't know. But remember when Tyrod Taylor punctured his lung? This is that sort of thing, but worse.
Team USA Hockey. Wait, so the team U like the
Team USA doctor put a dirty needle in him.
But wait a minute. These are NHL. This is like NHL All-Star. You're telling me that these teams are run by the...
Oh, you know what? That's a good point. I mean, I don't know who...
It is. This is run by USA Hockey. Okay. But I guarantee the team doctor, whoever, is a doctor of one of the NHL teams. And he does USA Hockey as well. But someone, I would bet a significant amount of money that someone stuck a needle and then didn't clean it properly, or they put him out there with an open wound. And you think about how nasty shoulder pads are and the sweat and all that. It's a real, I mean, it's something that people don't talk about, but you catch one of these infections. Like I said, he's been in the hospital for multiple days and had to have surgery where they have to go in and physically clean out the infection. And yet everyone's just like, and all the reports and like, all there's like, well, you know, he had a shoulder injury, and he's on antibiotics, but he's doing great. Status for the rest of the year, unknown. That's the best defenseman on the U.S. team, is the best defenseman for the Boston Bruin. Imagine if this was like an NBA player, an NFL player, this would be such a bigger story.
So do we have an edge on Team Canada over this?
It is our best defenseman and their best defenseman, who is probably the best defenseman in the game of hockey, didn't play in the first game. This is a big deal.
I might bet on Canada.
Charlie McAvoy is our best defenseman, and then everyone thought that
malicious fecal distribution,
that we were going to get a reinforcement in Quinn Hughes, who's an American, and he sat out the tournament, and they thought he was coming back, and he said no, he's not going to risk it. So it's a big deal. Right. So there's my little that's my hockey conspiracy theory, is someone, maybe a Canadian dirty needle, took out our best defenseman. I think the Team Canada gave him a dirty needle.
Wouldn't that be a
subterfuge?
Boy, I kind of respect it.
For an exhibition, nonetheless.
For an exhibition.
Yeah. Well, but it's personal now.
Of course it is.
With the tariffs and everything.
Yeah.
It's like, hey.
Tariff
payback's
this,
a bit.
Tariff this dirty needle, yeah. McAvoy.
That's right.
I saw somebody say 25% tariffs on knuckle sandwiches. Enjoy that, Canada.
Knuckle sandwich. God, I haven't heard that term for years.
Yeah.
Hey, you want a knuckle sandwich?
I also love, too, that like a bunch of the, the get-ups and the speak now, the stupid hot take shows. They have all these people on there that have never once watched hockey, and they're all baffled by the idea of fighting. There was a lady on, and I don't know who she was, but there was a lady on there who just couldn't process that there's fighting. And I'm all for women in sports, and they can, you know, the idea that you have to have played the sport or have a penis in order to intelligently discuss sports is ridiculous. But it was just listening to her. It sounded like someone's old mother that was like, why does it have to be so rough? We're just allowed to punch each other in the face. You're like, yeah, it's hockey.
Too violent for her?
Little bit. She was very flummoxed by it.
All right. Well, we've got the NFL salary cap number.
Yeah. It goes up every year.
Well, it went up big time last year.
Yeah.
And it's going up again.
Yep.
To 281 million dollars.
Yep, somewhere in there.
So it's up 24 million.
Yeah,
it's per a big team, deal. Which allows teams to spend more money.
But I would also like to point out to the dumbasses named the Cincinnati Bengals or anyone else that can't figure out their cap. The early you sign players, the T. Higgins of the world, the early you sign them, the better that contract looks, because each year the cap goes up, so they get. It's a lesser percentage. The longer you wait to sign people, the worse it gets for you. So this is why smart teams are always able to navigate the cap, and the dumb ones or the poor ones can't. So I mean, but this is a big jump.
The Raiders I saw will have $100 million in cap space.
Yeah,
you see that?
See if they spend it.
Well, why wouldn't they?
Well, again, the idea that they don't have a lot. Anytime you guarantee, the Raiders have been notoriously cheap and bad at cap flexibility because they don't want to pay bonuses. They don't want to pay upfront money because when you guarantee money, that money has to go into escrow. So think about that. Like when the Cleveland Browns gave Deshaun Watson, what was it, $230 million guaranteed dollars? They have to write a check at that moment for $230 million that goes into an escrow account to guarantee that contract. And so teams like the Cincinnati Bengals and traditionally the Raiders have not wanted to pay a bunch of upfront money like that, nor do they want to restructure deals and kind of kick it down the road. They've just been very poor at it. So hopefully new regime there in Vegas, they can be a little bit smarter about how they go about their business. But they have a bunch of money. The Patriots have a bunch of money. The Commanders have a bunch of money. It could be an interesting offseason.
Well, I think the Raiders are one of the more interesting offseason teams.
Yeah.
If you think about it. Them and probably the Patriots, see what they do.
Yeah.
But the Raiders and maybe the Rams, you know, with what's going on with the Rams.
They got to figure out what they're doing with Matthew Stafford.
Well, yeah, his wife came out and said she was kind of pissed that they were going to trade Cooper Kupp.
Yeah.
And of course, you know.
Oh my God.
His wife sucks. His wife
can it.
She's obnoxious.
You've got an aging, expensive receiver, and you've got it. Like, just stop that. That's Aaron Rodgers territory, trying to bring in Lazard.
Yeah. So I don't know who's the Raiders' next quarterback then.
That's the big question.
What about Stafford?
Yeah. The problem is with Stafford, I just don't think that Matthew Stafford to a, like the Giants, you can't bring in I think he's 37. Why are you bringing in a 37-year-old quarterback with an injury history to play behind a crappy line that's nowhere near ready to compete?
Yeah, maybe they do a stopgap guy.
He's got to be a stopgap guy. The Raiders need
Darnold.
The Raiders need to go down a road like that. You need to play around with something like that.
Well, I just think it's interesting to see what it's T. Brady and P. Carroll.
Yeah,
and I'm curious, and they're smart. Obviously, smart guys.
Smart guys.
Like they're not gonna overdo it at quarterback. It'll be interesting to see the route they go. Maybe Russ Wilson.
I saw that suggested. Suk and I kicked that around a little bit last week when you were gone.
Maybe Russ Wilson.
But there's about six spots that really need to figure out what they're doing. So the Raiders need to figure out what they're doing. The Vikings need to figure out what they're doing.
About quarterback?
Quarterback.
Yeah.
The Steelers need to figure out what they're doing. Titans need to figure out what they're doing. Giants need to figure out what they're doing. And the Jets are another one. And then that's
the Saints.
Although
they're saying Derek Carr might get cut.
Again, they're in such bad cap space. Are you really going to eat more money with Derek Carr? Are you just going to continue? They're like 50 something million. Although, and now with the cap going up, that's going to get cut in half. But that's another one that they just can't seem to figure out what the hell they're doing down there. But until you get the quarterback situation figured out, it's dicey. And the Raiders aren't going to be picking high enough. This is a really weak quarterback class.
Who's the number one pick quarterback?
Well, Cam Ward or Shedeur Sanders. And most people are of the belief that, like, if these two guys were in last year's class, they may not be first round picks. I mean, these are borderline first round guys, maybe second round guys, and they're going to have to be the first two guys because there just isn't anyone else. And it's a sticky spot too, because like if you're the Giants, this is your last chance. Your GM and coach are getting fired if you don't have a good year. So if you're the Giants, you're kind of handcuffed in that you can't roll out what you've been doing. That's an unmitigated disaster. You don't even have possibly the ability to draft one of the two quarterbacks unless you move up. You may think that one of them falls to you. But are you really rolling the dice that Shedeur Sanders or Cam Warren is going to come in and have this massive rookie season that's going to save your job? Or do you may have to do something a little risky? Remember, not all situations are created equal in that, like with the Titans can probably just sit there and say, no, we're going to roll it out with Will Levis again. No one's in danger of their getting fired. Whereas the Giants, it's do or die. I mean, people are surprised they didn't get fired this year. So it's a dodgy situation. Sometimes you don't do what's best for your long-term future because you won't be around for your long-term future. Your ass is going to get canned. And the Giants are certainly in that mix. Whereas the Raiders, again, the Raiders have a probably at least a 4 to 5 year runway here. Like no one's getting fired there. So if they wanted to do a stopgap and go with a Russell Wilson or go with a Sam Darnold or, you know, a Baker Mayfield, Geno Smith type of guy where you try to just kick it down the road a little bit, you're fine. Some teams can't do that.
Well, Petey's getting up there, though.
Yeah, you know, but he's a bridge guy anyways. His whole thing is to get an adult in the room, stabilize this thing for 3 years, probably find your quarterback, and then turn it over to whoever is going to be the next guy.
The offense was ripping.
Did you see the latest Ebola scare?
No.
You guys
Ebola's
on?
Ebola's back?
Ebola.
Oh, for God's sakes.
Ebola.
I don't want to mess with that.
Well,
that thing terrifies me.
I've got that story for you next.
We're bleeding out of orifices.
Followed by In the News on The Fan. Well, we had an Ebola scare.
That's fun.
It's not fun.
No. If you don't remember Ebola, you catch it and then you bleed and leak fluid and blood out of every hole in your body and then you die.
Highly contagious.
Yes.
No
but
cure.
But it's not airborne, so that's it's hard to spread.
Yeah, but if we had an Ebola breakout in the U.S., I mean, come on. Can you imagine the panic?
No. Well, I'm terrified of anything that we have because whatever you think of what COVID was, obviously the response to it, like you're just, when the next one comes and it's really bad, we are going to screw that thing up because our head is going to be so far up our arse.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be politicized immediately.
Yes.
And
there will have to literally be dead bodies rolling down streets and floating in rivers for people to take it seriously.
Well, Ebola's scary enough to do it, right?
Yeah, but again, it doesn't spread very easily. So that's the saving grace.
New York City health officials ruled out a health scare after two patients were rushed to a Manhattan facility suspected of having Ebola.
Hey.
Wow.
Yes. This was Sunday, about 11:15. I don't know what you were doing. I guess it'd be 8:15 out here.
Yeah. Not coming in contact with Ebola, as far as I know.
Yeah, we're a little far away from this little outbreak here.
Yeah.
Reports started circulating that one of the patients was potentially exposed to Ebola.
Ugh.
It comes after health officials warn of a quad-demic ravaging the country this winter, in addition to the continual spread of bird flu, which has impacted poultry and cattle farms and costs of your eggs. And thanks a lot, Joe Biden.
Yeah, but we have the Gulf of America now, so it's fine. What are you talking about?
So the two suspected Ebola patients were transported to a hospital by first responders in hazmat suits. Apparently, the news got wind of it. There was a big deal in New York on the news that they didn't know really what was going on, but there's all these people in hazmat suits.
It's not good.
Transferring patient zero over to the hospital. So they concluded, so they thought that these people were, exposed to somebody who had just traveled overseas and brought back Ebola.
Yeah.
But they weren't. So health department officials there concluded that after testing, neither of the patients had or was even exposed to the Ebola virus.
Well, thank God.
So, the scare...
Let's not start that here.
The scare has ended.
Yeah.
Before it even started. Before it even probably started. Didn't even know about that.
I did not.
It was a New York thing.
I just know you don't want it. Anytime the hazmat suit comes out, you don't want that. But you do have to, like, come in contact with, like, the fluid to get...
Oh, no.
To get the Ebola. Yeah, touch the people.
So...
Have you ever seen, like, the what people look like when they get it?
No, and I don't care to. I don't really care about that.
Yeah. So, well, that's good. So, we dodged that bullet. The asteroid's going to hit us in a couple years, but, you know.
Hey, I saw a thing today about that.
We're up at, like, 3.5%, something like that?
3.1 I saw last.
3.1.
Yeah.
It's very scary.
Well, it's not great, but at the same time, it's not a global killer, so we got that going for us.
Panic.
From, in, what, 3 to 4 years? When was it? 20... Maybe it had been longer than that. Was it
2032, 20? I think.
2032? So we got some time.
Well, we also have defenses. Did you know this? There are things we can do.
Space Force?
Well, this one isn't that big. Like, this is like...
What she said.
Well, like, when the one that comes and it's like the size of a state, that's a global killer and your ass is cooked. This thing, what'd they say? It was like, was it 100? It's like 100
Space Force.
Football field, something like that?
Dusty. I heard Dusty say today at the end of Danny and Dusty that it is at... The impact would be 500 times the bomb that was dropped on Hiroshima.
Yeah.
Well, that's not good.
No. Yeah, well, so if it kind of lands in the middle of nowhere, there's not going to be mass casualty. But if it hits a densely populated area, it's real, real bad.
It's not good.
I'm sure we'll be fine.
3%. Like, fine.
Well, it's like...
we shoot some nukes at it? What are we doing?
I mean, our only defense...
Bruce Willis?
Actually, we do have a bunch of defenses, but with the meteor... I thought really our only defense was hope.
Yeah, pray to God.
Well, I don't pray.
What about Tom Cruise?
To me, it would be just hope.
Well, you can chant. I don't know.
Thoughts without the prayers?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, just hope. I just think hope's positively.
Hope's a hell of a thing, right?
Hopefully a meteor doesn't kill me.
Okay. I like where you're going with that.
Well, in the U.S., we have a lot of different things we can do. One, they said we can smash a spacecraft into it. That has been done before.
Really?
Yes.
That seems like that wouldn't be very effective with something hurtling towards us, but...
Well, they say it can be, but you have to be careful with it because if you don't... Like, it can just shoot other particles, you know, like, it can break it up, and then there are other pieces coming at us.
You turn one big death object into, like, 40 death objects coming your way?
But they said in 2022, NASA did this. They deliberately smashed a spacecraft into a 160-meter-wide Dimorphos asteroid, successfully altering its orbit around a larger space rock.
Oh. And it worked?
I don't know why they had to do that, but...
Maybe. I'm guessing you want to test that out. I'm willing to wager that the last thing you want to do is when the death meteor is coming towards us, be like, hey, we got something that we think it may work. We've never done it before, but let's see what the hell happens here. I think you want to test that out a little bit. It's insane. Anywho.
We can tractor ion beam paint it.
What? Is that a sentence? We can tractor ion beam paint? Those are words.
Are we bleaching viruses again? What are we doing?
I get your confusion.
That didn't make any sense to me.
Well, it doesn't make sense to me. I'm just reading it. So it says a separate idea called a gravity tractor involves a large spacecraft flying up near the asteroid and without touching it, using its gravitational pull to tug it away from the Earth.
Hmm.
Now, this seems like a pretty good idea.
Yeah, I like where we're going with that.
Yeah. Another non-contact plan would be put a spacecraft near the asteroid armed with thrusters that would exert a constant stream of ions to shove the asteroid off course.
Hmm.
And that makes total sense to smart people.
Yeah.
But not
dumb
ones.
It's a real Wile E. Coyote sort of situation there. I like where we're going with that.
Scientists have also considered spray painting one side of the asteroid white, increasing its reflectiveness so it slowly changes trajectory. How about that?
Right the hell out of town.
You want to go up there and spray paint an asteroid?
Look, we've talked about the whites are on a generational run. What if the whites once again save us by painting something white? Oh, my goodness.
These subtler strategies,
that
they say.
That can't be a thing. Really?
How do you even go about that?
This is Yahoo News.
That's amazing.
You get a couple scaffolds.
I don't think that's how it works.
If you just paint something white, it veers off course.
What kind of space vehicle goes up there and paints stuff?
Oh, my God.
We could also blow it up. They say the nuclear option is we just blow it up.
I'm not going to lie. That seems...
We could take a nuke up there and...
Get Steve Buscemi, the rock hound.
I'm not here to judge or anyone's choices. But can we all admit, for better or worse, that our current administration, the only plan we have is to nuke that thing? I guarantee that if that thing was coming towards us and you laid out all of those plans, the one that would be chosen would be to fire a F ton of nukes at that thing, guaranteed. And I'm not going to lie, I feel like I'd kind of like to see it.
I feel like that is like the first suggestion in that, doesn't that still possibly hurdle things towards the Earth?
Probably, but...
like a lot of more things?
I was elected to lead, not to read. Oh, maybe if he, I guess is the idea is that if Bruce Willis has taught me anything, it's that if you break it up into enough small pieces, then they burn up entering the atmosphere.
They're also saying that less dangerous, but along similar lines as the nuclear option, you can shoot laser beams from a spacecraft to vaporize the side of the asteroid, which pushes it away.
Sharks with freaking laser beam. This all sounds so absurd, and yet, like, one of these days, we've talked about this, but... dude, throughout the course of the planet, we get hit by S all the time. And some of it just, like, takes us back to the Stone Age. So, eventually, someone on this planet is going to have to deal with the fact that there is a big death meteor coming towards us. And this one is small potatoes compared to, like, some of the other ones that have hit us over the millennia.
Yeah, this says 7.5 years, long time to prepare, but there's roughly 97% chance the asteroid will just miss us.
Yeah. I don't like that. The 3%, like if we were talking about this while you were gone, but if I told you you were getting on an airplane or getting in a car and you had a 3 in 100 chance of dying, you wouldn't get on that airplane. You'd be like, yeah, I'm gonna.
Yeah, no, it is weird. Like, because I saw something today about all the airline issues that we've had. We all have a little trepidation about flying right now.
Yeah.
Because of all the crap that's gone on. Yeah. I guess there was another plane collision today in small planes in Arizona.
Was there?
I saw that too.
It's like another one.
Somebody died again.
Yeah. But it's true. Like, if you put up the 3.1% chance of a meteor hitting Earth, which is the highest percentage chance ever.
Yeah.
But then I tell you that so I saw this on the news today. They said, if you have trepidation about flying, this may help you. A person would have to travel by air every day for 103,000 years to experience a fatal accident.
Yeah.
Those are your odds.
Yeah, you're fine.
So obviously, there's a clear choice there.
Exactly. Yeah, we're going to be okay. But the meteor thing, 3%, that's no good. I told you I read a book once on Buzz Aldrin in the Apollo missions. And they did say, I want to say that statistically speaking, they said the space shuttle, and now we don't have one. But when we had the space shuttle program, I think they said statistically speaking, that thing was supposed to suffer a catastrophic failure every like 26 launches. And I'm like, you have got to be effing me. Those dudes strapped their asses into something that they said statistically speaking, one out of every 20-something times, something should go wrong. And I'm like, which is more terrifying, the first time you go up in that thing or like the eighth time you go up in that thing?
Yeah, it feels like your odds get worse every single time you do a launch.
That's a good question. I think the first time would be pretty scary.
Yeah.
But then by the eighth time, you might be lulled to sleep like, hey, we've been set for 7. Right?
Until in the back of your head, you're like, wait,
a bad one of these, aren't I?
Well, but I think I look at it the other way. I think if I'm up there, I'm going, well, wait a minute. The first 7 were fine, so I feel like we're on a good
path. This is easy. We got to figure it out now.
Yeah. Dude,
all I know is those dudes, those Apollo astronauts, those guys have the biggest balls of any human beings to ever live in our little society. That's balls of steel.
All right, in the news is next. We have an avalanche, and McMenamins is closing one of its oldest locations. That's next. Here's Buck. Are your balls jiggling? Yeah, someone texted and they said, way to step up the Wednesday show, Rob. I thought that was ITN.
Wrong.
Wrong.
By the way, I wanted to look it up to get my numbers correct because it's been years since I read that book.
Wrong.
So those first Apollo missions, right? The NASA reported 1 in 9 chance of catastrophic disaster during those initial Apollo missions.
Great.
1 in 9.
11%?
1 in 9.
Jeez.
And then my favorite part was after those original 9 missions, obviously they learned things. They did fry some of the astronauts in a horrible disaster. But they said that safety improvements have reduced the risk to 1 in 90. Does that feel great? You're strapping yourself into the most powerful thing that we can launch. And we're like, hey, guys, we've made a lot of improvements. Now, 1 in 90 chance that you're going to die in a fiery ball of flames.
So less likely than getting hit by the asteroid. But,
you know what, though? those people wouldn't want it any other way.
No. No, it's a different
breed. They're a special breed.
That's that whole Chuck Yeager, the right stuff. They just, as I said, they're just wired different and they don't think about it. And I cannot imagine something that would be on this planet that would be more nerve wracking. I mean, you've seen the size of that in the booster rockets and you're sitting there basically upside down. Think about how scary it is when you're getting ready to ride a roller coaster and now you're Space realizing Force. You're sitting on how many tons of jet fuel and that blast is about to go off and you're like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. And they're telling you now, hey, we think it's more like 1 in 90 that this thing, turns out okay. But we're, just estimates.
It's February 19, 2025. It's time for In the News. I am your noted and humble newsman. Please be seated. Thank you. It is brought to you by the Advocates Injury Attorneys at advocateslaw.com. Today is International Tug of War Day.
Ooh, when's the last time you played Tug of War?
I was thinking about that today when I put this in my notes.
Well, maybe like a Bo Cephas? Play with your dog?
Yeah. Well, I play with Molls.
Oh, she's a tugger?
Molly Tenges. Yeah, she likes to... She gives her a little...
Yeah, mine won't play.
Little growl.
He refuses.
It is also National Boston Terrier Day.
Oh, we had two Boston Terriers.
Did you?
Yeah,
dog.
My Alaska version of my family. We had Poogie and Tasha. Growing up, were our two Boston Terriers, and they are they're an interesting breed.
Where does Poogie come from?
Where did we get Poogie from? I think we used to call Pooge like when you were little, like a little fat baby or whatever, like your Pooge.
Like Pudgy, but with a long U?
Yeah, and so it was a little fat little Boston Terrier. They are, I'm not going to say they're good dogs. How about they're lovable dogs, but they're not good dogs. They're a ball of anxiety.
Yeah.
A little high strung.
Are French Bulldogs better?
Not really.
Because I was playing with two French Bulldogs.
Yeah.
When I was back in Kansas, some guy had two French Bulldogs, and they were just freaking adorable.
They are, but
snorty little things.
They're monsters. They're just, they're not well behaved.
They seemed it.
They're not well trained, but they're just cute as the Dickens.
They're cute as hell.
You know, that is now the number one dog in the United States.
The French Bulldog?
The French Bulldog.
Are they expensive, too?
They are very expensive. Like, I think they're now like 4 to 5 Gs because they can't give birth naturally. But it has overtaken either the Golden Retriever, I think. It is now the number one breed. I mean, Mutt is obviously the number one dog, but purebred dog, the French Bulldog, is now number one, and they are little just tyrants. But people are willing to put up with it because they're so damn cute.
Well, here's the here are the deets on that aviation catastrophe. Another one. Today, this was in Marana, Arizona. At least two people were killed during an aircraft collision near a southern Arizona airport. Federal air safety investigators said two people were on board each plane as they collided. There's video of it.
Or on the ground.
They're in the air.
Because we had one in Arizona. That was the Motley Crue jet got slammed into by some dude on the runway.
Yeah, that was like Scottsdale or something?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I see it right here. They got video.
Two single-engine fixed-wing aircraft at the airport.
It's crazy that all these things, there's just video of everything now.
I don't know if it was in the air, actually, now that they'd have, this is one of those where they have no details.
Yeah, I'm just seeing the video of the debris. No, it is. I've got the actual mid-air collision.
The vid
now. Yeah, because originally they were showing, this was from NBC News Channel 4, and they were showing the aftermath, but no, it's a mid-air collision. Tell you what, there is nothing left of those airplanes. I mean, that's just...
Well, I would imagine, yeah.
Yeah, they're just disintegrated.
We have an avalanche up at Mount Bachelor. This is a very sad story.
We got someone clipped up there, too?
Yeah, two people died. They were a couple. Apparently, they're a very well-known couple in Bend. Yeah. Their names are Terrence and Susan Skursa?
Okay, let's go with that.
It's spelled S... K-J-E-R-S-A-A. Very odd name. At any rate, 57-year-old man, 52-year-old woman. They are well-known in Bend. I guess Terry was the principal broker at a real estate company there.
Yeah.
And his grandparents, Olaf and Grace, opened Bend's first ski shop way back in 1939.
Oh, gosh. So that is Bend legacy. I'm sure they are extremely well-known.
Yeah.
Were they skiing?
They were. So it sounds like this is, God, this is my worst nightmare. I like to ski, but I don't do a lot of... Like, I'm not good enough, really, to do, like, the backcountry type of stuff. But that's what they were doing.
Yeah.
They were at about 6,700 feet on a south slope. They were running 320 vertical feet into a tight clump of trees. And apparently, they triggered the avalanche.
Mm.
And it smooshed them.
Yeah, that's terrifying. I got my buddy that lives down in Bend. His family's really good, and they do backcountry skiing, and I just...
I don't like that.
That terrifies me. Like, his kids are kind of, especially one's kind of a bit of a daredevil. I just... And I'm not a skier, but that... Some of those videos of watching, like, the real good bros outrun the avalanches, you want to talk about anxiety-inducing.
Right.
It's terrifying.
Here locally, McMenamin's is closing its oldest... One of its oldest locations.
Yeah, the old Ram's Head.
The old Ram's Head is closing. I got to tell you, I didn't know it was still open.
It is,
but I don't get down to 23rd much.
No, dude, it has been so long since I've been to the old Ram's Head.
35 years. Corner of Northwest 23rd and Hoyt.
Yep.
It will close in June.
So, I mean, how many different McMenamins are there? I mean, like, there's like a...
That's a good question.
I mean...
I don't know.
Like, I know that it sucks for people that love the Ram's Head, but there is lots and lots of McMenamins.
Over 50 locations.
Yeah.
Really? 50?
56 in Oregon and Washington.
They're all over the
place. 46 in Oregon, 10 in Washington.
I didn't know they had that much up in Washington.
There's one right by my house and...
Including 12 historic hotels, 2 full-service spas, and...
Where are the spas? Oh, one of them's at Edgefield.
Edgefield.
Where's the other one?
Hello? Let me find.
I don't know. They got a real nice one up in Kalama, up in Washington. There's one right there off of 164th in Vancouver. And I don't know. Like,
I do like what they do. Like, the whole bit is a good bit, I think.
You know what you're it's getting. Unique. It's not, you know.
I don't think. Well, what I'm saying is I like the concept of it.
Mm-hmm.
But... I don't want to be a jerk.
You're about to be a jerk.
Well, they're kind of underwhelming, like, when you actually eat there. Oh. But I just think the what they've done with some of the buildings and venues that they have is really cool.
The other spa is Forest Grove.
Yeah, they... Okay. Oh, yeah.
It's cool.
And that's got
Grand Lodge.
There's a music venue out there, too, that's awesome. Out there, that one in Forest Grove. I saw a Blues Traveler there last year. That place is awesome. They do. They do a... If you're underwhelmed by the food, or I actually love their Ruby. I think that is one of my favorite drinkable beers. Big fan. I know some people are underwhelmed by the food, but like, you know what you're getting, and you're right. The atmosphere and what they've done and built that, it's an institution.
I got to tell you, I think Edgefield is one of the coolest places out here.
Yes.
I really like it. It's just really cool.
You've never been out to the Grand Lodge, the one in Forest Grove?
No, I've been out there.
I was going to say, go if you haven't been. And you're like, well, that other one's, you know, if you live on the other side of town, go check out the Grand Lodge. I was there for the first time last year and was really, I was blown away. I was like, God, this has been out here this whole time.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize it had been out there. And we saw Gary Clark Jr. was out there too. They got good acts that come out there.
I like that little dead bar at the Edgefield.
Yeah.
They have a little Grateful Dead bar out there. Little hole in the wall.
I used to kill a lot of time when we were over on McAdam. Thurston's Pub is right there on McAdam, and it is a great little neighborhood bar, and that's the McMenamins.
Yeah, we spent some time in there.
Yep.
I signed a contract in there once.
Did you really?
Yeah, with Tim, our old boss.
Yeah.
We had having beers.
There's something great to me about the all the bars, the copper top bars, and there's just...
they got a good vibe.
It's a good vibe.
Rest in peace, Ram's Head.
Well, you got time.
We hardly knew ye.
We hardly knew ye, yeah. But I mean, right there on 23rd, there's still like 2 other McMenamins.
Yeah, I don't know.
The bottle shop's right there.
I don't feel terrible for McMenamins. I feel terrible for the one-off that has to close.
Yeah, but there's...
But McMenamins,
they're doing fine.
Yeah. Would you vote for cannabis cafes in Oregon? That is next on The Fan. Yeah, P1 Scott is in, and he sums it up nicely. He says, I'll give McMenamins one thing. They poorly serve up mediocre food and beers in really cool buildings. And that's right! And that's the thing about McMenamins is like, aw.
That's it.
What? That's the thing about McMenamins is You don't really ever seek, I mean, I don't know, we don't really ever seek out a McMenamin's, but every once in a while you find yourself at one.
Yeah.
And it's fine, but the buildings, it's you're great. Like, oh, wow. Like, Edgefield, I think, is awesome, but mainly for shows. Like, we'll go out there for concerts.
Yes.
And so then you bounce around to the different little,
yeah.
It's just kind of cool, yeah. But I don't know. It's not really a destination outside of a concert.
I will contend there's a lot worse ways to spend your evening than a pile of spicy tots and like six rubies. I can sit there and kill an hour or two doing that, yeah. No problem.
Yeah, whatsoever. I like the ruby when I play the little par three,
yeah,
out there.
Yeah.
Barefoot.
The ruby is a phenomenal.
It's a good beer.
It's just it's a great summertime,
yeah,
dad beer.
It's an easy drink.
It is
beer.
An easy drinking beer.
Alright.
Well, yeah, you can go out there and play it barefoot. And, yeah.
I'm glad we covered all that, guys. We don't have time for my cannabis cafe story. We're going to have to do that tomorrow.
Okay.
Because it appears we have to leave.
We're going to be the new Amsterdam. Is that what we're doing?
We are out of here because Oregon Ducks basketball is coming up next. $2 beer night at Iowa. They're running into a buzzsaw.
It's Oregon Duck pregame.
Yeah, that's right.
Get ready for it.
Catch the Thieve. We are back tomorrow, 3 to 7 on the Fan tonight.
Ships of space.